Welcome to the Fuller Chasing Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 16th of December, and I'm recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time, here in balmy London. Over 14 degrees, mid-60s here. Okay. Now, interesting, the oversold rally has continued in here today, and we had some good gains taking place for a change here in the Asia-Pacific region. Now, this had lagged a little bit, but very strong today. Japan, Nikkei 225, up 2.61%. That's taken it back above the 19,000 level. Topix was also up over 2.5%. Now in China, most of the indices were higher. The only one is one I don't mention very often, is the CSI 300. But the Shanghai Composite Index, modest gain of nearly 6 points, but it's a tiny percentage, under barely not even a fifth of a percentage point. But the Hang Seng Index up over 2%, and the China H shares, the HSCEI Index, up also over 2%. Again, very cheap, very oversold readings on those indicators, and at least the Shanghai Composite is steady after some earlier gains last week. Now, Taiwan, again, firm, well over 1%, as was South Korea, almost 2%. Well, some of the indices are 2% for Korea. Australia, 2.42%. That's very good gains. And they were all firm, with the exception of Thailand, which was only down a tenth of a percentage point. And Indonesia got the good gain, up 1.68%. So definitely some short covering and buying in those rather depressed oversold markets. And how did the European markets do? Well, they had those huge gains yesterday, over 3% for a number of the indices. Well, they certainly didn't repeat that again here today, but they had modest gains for the most part. The two exceptions were the Italian market, but it was only down a fraction over under a third of a point, and the Spanish market was almost unchanged. The others, modest gains. The best, actually, we haven't seen this for a while, is the UK FTSE 100. It was only up 3/4 of a percentage point, but it was a top performer here in Europe. German DAX up a tiny bit as well. Now, Wall Street on the big interest rate cut day, and the market swung around for a while. There's so often after a big, widely anticipated development, such as that interest rate hike here today, and I hadn't mentioned that earlier on, or if you hadn't seen it on the news, it's the most widely anticipated rate hike in history, probably. But they did it at a quarter of a point rise, and we had volatile market action following that, and up nearly 200 points, and then down barely in profit, and then back up. Well, it settled up over 224 points, and that's 1.28% for the Dow. S&P 500, 1.45% higher, and the NASDAQ Composite up 1.52%. Now, interestingly, that puts the NASDAQ Composite up 7.08% on the year to date. And it put the S&P 500 back into the plus column which is 0.69 of a percentage point. The Dow is down less than a half of a percentage point on the year. Other U.S. indices are weaker, including the transports and the Russell 2000. But good performance here for the third day here this week. And a refrain of mine, which you may recall, was that I've been saying for the last few weeks that this was probably going to be regarding the dollar, a rate hike, it was probably going to be a sell the rumor, buy the news by some people. And the buying actually started when it was a virtual gain. Clearly, it was a certainty started on Monday. But this is a good gain. And we probably will see a little bit more upside follow through because this week's rally has occurred against a background of short-term oversold indicators, which you can see on the stochastics. I'll be putting those in my comment and showing in some daily bar charts for the three main indices here. And what we are also likely to see, because we've got a trading range here, and the three indices that I just mentioned, the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ Composite, all moved on, I think it was just on an intraday basis, briefly below the November reaction lows. Which I talked about. I just said we'd be in a lengthy reaction and consolidation phase if we saw those mid-November lows taken out for more than a day or two. Well, it hasn't happened. They were broken on an intraday basis, popped right back up, and just a little rule of thumb, technical indicator on that. Following a failed downside break from a recognizable trading range, what normally happens is that the market pushes back up to take out at least temporarily the higher side of the range, and those would be the November-December highs. And I think that's what we'll see. We'll see this rally carry on further and take out those November-December highs. I don't expect a huge rally, but this is still a bull market, although many people have been incredibly bearish. That's a contrary indicator. Many people have said the bull market is over. Many people have said, well, it's only supported by a few expensive tech companies. And well, there's a fair amount of truth to that. Let's put it this way. The bulls haven't given up the ghost just yet here. And there are seasonal factors which are really quite positive. Now, the Fed did say that they were going to raise rates four times next year by a quarter of a point. That surprised me a little bit. I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me. Got these. You know these are live audios, you know, when the speaker sneezes on one of them. Okay. Fed said that we'd have four quarter-point rate hikes in 2016, and that surprises me, and partly because it's an election year, but maybe everybody thinks Hillary Clinton is going to just sweep the boards. I do. That's my view. In which case, it doesn't really matter. Or she won't upset the Democrats who currently hold the White House. And I think, though, that the Fed may have wished to give a positive lead and the uncertainty on rates, but previously they've taken our decisions will be based on events type of attitude. Well, and they're talking about quarter point rate hikes through 2016, so That's more positive, more of a positive statement that may well help business confidence overall. But, and this is a big but, if they're going to raise rates four times next year, all right, that's only another full point. But that could easily push the dollar sharply higher. Now, I don't think the Fed will want that, and I've said before that the Fed has intervened from time to time, most dramatically just about 3 weeks ago when they knocked the dollar back when it was above 100, put a big downside key day reversal in the dollar. But the dollar index I'm talking about now, the dollar index stands at 98.374 here today. So it's steady-ish. I think that the Fed would not be making those four interest rate hike projections without feeling confident that they could rein in the dollar. And that's important because it's sort of rule of thumb measure. If the dollar rises sharply by 10%, then people estimate that that can knock one full percentage point off GDP growth. Well, the U.S. certainly won't want to see that, and neither will anybody else, in my opinion. They must be assuming that they can successfully intervene to keep the dollar in check. And they may very well need to, because, you know, these other countries are using quantitative easing in here, and they're not going to stop doing that. Certainly not during 2016. Now, what else happened in here? The euro, a little easier, 1.0910. Sterling looks like, yes, definitely a little easier here, 1.4999. And the Australian dollar, actually fraction firmer here, 0.7221. Now, the Chinese renminbi, I've been talking about this being, it's a slow motion devaluation here. In other words, it's a controlled government-controlled devaluation, a little bit pretty much every day. And just a little bit of back history, you can see it in the chart library, of course, but in August, and for several months before August, the CNY, Chinese renminbi, had just been pegged at 6.2 renminbi to the US dollar. And then they devalued it, and it shot up to 6.8. Fairly quickly. Now, that doesn't sound like a huge move, 6.2 to 6.8. Certainly China needs to have a slightly weaker currency. It's now, at any rate, it's currently at 6.47 in here, and that's a new low for the year, and I would expect to see a few more new lows before the end of the year and probably carrying on into 2016. Okay, what about government bonds? 2.29%. 2.29. So still low, but it's firming. This is base building. Bond yields are going to push higher. I think during the rest of this year and next year, for sure. The VIX index, that's dropped here a little bit, down to 17.86. That's back to a more moderate, respectable level. In other words, fear is has dissipated over the last 3 days. And commodities, now interestingly, we've got a firmer tone in the precious metals and also in the industrial metals, but particularly the precious metals. Not so much palladium, 571.3. That's up just $4.25 dollars here. Silver closed up over 40 cents higher. at 14.175. It had been up at 14.31, but couldn't quite hold that gain. But it's an upward dynamic from an oversold level, so that's an encouraging sign here overall. And gold also up $12 to 1073 and change. And platinum, which I missed, well, that's done the best of all. Up nearly $20 to 875 and change. So steady action there. And they've been choppy, but they look like they could go a bit higher. Now, you'd think that crude might have been up against that background, but just the opposite. The WTI crude is currently at 35.72. That's down $1.63. So the range on the day is 37.35 to 35.29. So that brutal weakness in this oil sector continues. And the Brent is at 37.50. That's down $1.23. And again, these are oversold, overstretched, but still weak in here. Again, the whole commodity sector is really quite depressed. But I think that we're in a trough region on these industrial commodities, and that they will appreciate, and some of them will appreciate sharply in 2016. And the reason for that is because a lot of these are down at levels where we can only get production cutbacks. That certainly applies to the metals, and it certainly applies to oil. And we can also, we also see that demand for these commodities is also increasing. Now, it takes a while to swing it around because you've got above ground stocks, but they're estimated a short while ago that there were over 3 billion barrels of oil stored. And, you know, that's got to be reduced, that figure, quite substantially. But the thing to look out for over the medium term is some spikes to the upside by these depressed commodities. Exciting times. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.